News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, famine is imminent in northern Gaza and likely to occur by May. That's according to a new UN-backed report. We're joined by Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Sean, these are really jarring reports. I saw the EU foreign policy chief Josep Borrell accusing Israel of using starvation as a weapon of war. Israel obviously refuting that. Is that fair comment or unfair comment in your view?
Well, good morning, Shane. Yeah, I mean, the difficulty is whatever the cause of it, the famine, the desperate humanitarian situation in Gaza is evident for all to see. With 1.3 million refugees that have moved south, the shortage of food. I mean, let's put into context, before the 7th of October, before Hamas conducted that desperate attack, there were 500 lorry loads of aid that would go into Gaza every single day. Now, since that time, the number has dropped significantly. Even at its peak, it's only been about 20% of that figure. And some days, only 10 trucks get across. So in the sort of months that have gone by, it's little wonder that the situation has got absolutely desperate. And of course, you know, at the moment, Netanyahu doesn't feel like he's finished the job of clearing Hamas out of the Gaza. So his ultimate focus is on the military campaign. And until he gets rid of all the Hamas fighters, he isn't going to stop.
Let's talk about that military campaign. Have things shifted a little bit internationally? And when I say internationally, what I actually mean is in relation to America. Is Netanyahu now under more pressure for the first time?
I think there's little doubt of that, Shane. I think at the start of this, I think many of the international community had a degree of sympathy with Israel having the right to self-defense. But when you look 6 months on, you know, 100,000 Palestinian casualties and probably well over half of those are women and children. And then you look at the humanitarian disaster. And I think what's been fascinating is that America and the UK, but particularly America, were stalwart supporters of Israel. But now they're actually getting aid directly into Gaza behind the back of the Israelis. The Israelis have been controlling access via land. But you've seen initially Jordanians and then the Americans, Jordanians and the Germans doing airdrops of aid, they create some fantastic footage. But I've been on airdrops before and they're quite dangerous. They're indiscriminate. And we've seen some of the aid dropping into the sea, some of the pallets hitting people. And even despite all the efforts, one C-130 Hercules worth of aid is only one truckload. So it provides only 0.2% of the daily need. What we then saw was this small ship that came from Cyprus, the Open Arms, that was 200 tons of rice in a trailer, if you remember. But that was only 3% of the daily requirement until the US built their pontoon and they are able to bring big ships in, offload them out in deep water and bring them ashore. They're claiming they'll have 2 million meals a day. That will start to properly address the famine. The trouble is that's likely to take weeks rather than days.
What about the ceasefire talks? How are they progressing? Hamas offering to release all hostages for the first time. Is that a game changer in relation to those talks?
Well, it's interesting, Shane. I personally think it is. And I'm enough grey hairs. I'm not naive, but because we've seen these negotiations happen many times. What I think is different here is that if you recall, just before, about a month ago, Netanyahu said he was going to go into Rafah to deal with the last four battalions of Hamas if by the 10th of March, by the start of Ramadan, the hostages were not released. Well, the 10th of March came and went. They haven't gone in. And the challenge remains about what refugees. So there was a danger that Netanyahu was looking weak, that Hamas was now found a little stronghold in Rafah. Now these negotiations are happening. Prime Minister Netanyahu has reiterated his commitment to go in to Rafah. And I think all of that is part of the negotiating strategy, because bluntly, Hamas is a spent force now in Gaza. And if there was a way of some of the leadership going on exile, that into exile, and that's been talked about before, some way of getting the fighters to leave that last little bastion of hope, then frankly, we could be on the verge of a negotiated peace and end this absolutely brutal war.
Oh, so, I mean, obviously, and I think you said it, caveats apply here and who knows how it'll transpire. But you are more optimistic that finally an end could be in sight?
Well, yes, and I think largely because the indicators are Netanyahu's becoming increasingly isolated on the global stage. He had his first call in a month with President Biden the other day, and Hamas are at the end of their tether. Frankly, they are no longer going to have a ruling role in the Gaza. And I think if you look at the humanitarian situation, given that it does feel like the war is all but over anyway, for Netanyahu to keep going, it will be what many aid agencies describe as a bloodbath. Secondly, how on earth would you get the hostages out? There's meant to be 130 left. Not all of those are alive, but Netanyahu's under huge domestic pressure to do more to get the hostages out. So, yes, I mean, I can't prove it's going to happen, but I definitely sense there's more a degree of hope that maybe there might be a negotiated settlement that comes from this.
Let's hope so. Sean Bell, military analyst, co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.